Good day and welcome to the TGS Q3 2011 Results Webcast Presentation Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Hobbs, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to TGS's Third Quarter 2011 Conference Call. Sorry for the short delay this morning due to technical reasons, but we'll go ahead and get started. My name is Robert Hobbs, and I'm CEO of TGS. Joining me today is Christian Johansson, our CFO, and Karen Eltouil, our Vice President of Business Development. Earlier today, we posted our third quarter earnings release and a presentation of the results on our website. Hopefully, you've had the opportunity to view that release, and we will now give just a very brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. Our Q3 2010 net revenues of $160 million were up 23% compared to the same period 1 year ago. At the beginning of the year, we communicated an investment plan that was heavily weighted to the second half of the year. We continue to be on track with that guidance. Our Q3 investments were $111 million, up 77% from the same period last year. These investments were a record for the company in a single quarter and resulted in a record high number of vessels utilized in a quarter as well. Net pre-funding revenues resulted from all-time high quarterly investments were $53.7 million, up 124% from Q3 of 2010. This is equivalent to a pre-funding ratio of 49%. Net late sales of $91 million were down 10% from late sales in Q3 2010 and down 7% sequentially from Q2. In Q3, proprietary revenues were $15 million, up 160% from the same period in 2010, driven by the completion of a contract 3D survey that was adjacent to a large multi-client survey in the Barents Sea. We are on track with our plan in 2011. For the first 9 months of 2011, net revenues were $428 million, an increase of 9% compared to the same period in 2010. Net late sales during the first 9 months of 2011 were $273 million, an increase of 15% from the same period in 2010. Net pre-funding revenues for the first 9 months were $117 million, down 14% from 2010, funding 54% of the company's operational multi-client investments of $216 million. The multi-client amortization rate during the quarter was 49%, above our guided range for the full year of 2011. Amortization fluctuates from quarter to quarter dependent upon the sales mix of the projects that we sell that quarter. The amortization rate for the first 9 months of 2011 was 43%, and we continue to anticipate that full-year amortization will be within our guided annual range of 41 to 47%. Our resulting operating profit for Q3 2011 was $61 million, representing 38% of net revenues. This operating profit is up 14% from Q3 2010, driven by the higher revenues. Operating profit for the first 9 months of 2011 was $178 million, up 22% from the same period in 2010. Earnings per share in Q3 were 41 cents per share versus 37 cents a year ago, and earnings per share for the first 9 months of 2011 were $1.22 compared to 95 cents for the same period in 2010. Cash flow from operations after taxes but before investments for Q3 was $66 million compared to $109 million a year ago. Our backlog was $134 million at the end of Q3, up 8% from the previous quarter and a full 26% above 1 year ago. We are encouraged by the revenue growth that we continue to see across our entire business. This confirms our expectations of double-digit growth in E&P spending from the previous year and further confirms the interest that our customers continue to have in TGS's products. Q3 was an exceptionally active season in Northwest Europe for the seismic industry. This record activity resulted in operational challenges related to timeshare. And our record investment in vessel activity for the quarter was driven by our customers' interest in our project ideas, many of which were located in this promising region, where there have been announcements of significant exploration successes. We believe that our strong investment in this region will provide a foundation for sales growth as customers prepare for upcoming license rounds, in particular the 22nd Norwegian exploration round. TGS sees a strong pipeline of opportunities going forward. In fact, we've recently announced several large multi-client 3Ds in the Asia-Pacific, Northwest Europe, and North America regions. These surveys will be a part of our Q4 investment and continue into the 2012 investment plan as well. They reflect investment in new and promising basins, such as the Northwest Shelf of Australia and in the onshore U.S. In addition, we were pleased to receive a permit to acquire a new wide azimuth data set in the Gulf of Mexico. This permit was long awaited, and the project that it enables will be part of our 2012 investment budget. We expect to release our guidance for 2012 in the first half of January. For 2011, we maintain our guidance as follows. Multi-client data library investments of $280 to $330 million. Average pre-funding in the range of 55 to 65% of investments. An average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 41 to 47% of net revenues. Net revenues in the range of $600 to $650 million. And proprietary contract revenue slightly above 5% of total net revenues. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. Please press star 1 to pose your question. Operator, you can open the call now.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, as being explained, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And we will take our first question from John Olaisen in Carnegie. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, and good morning in Houston. A couple of questions. First, on the wide estimate survey that you have announced for 2012, could you give us a status on the search for pre-funding and the search for vessels, please?
Yeah, you know, as we prepare projects, you know, large projects like this, you know, the discussions with our customers and vessel vendors are more or less ongoing off and on, and they have been on this project even before we received the permit. I guess it's difficult to line up, oftentimes it's difficult to line up pre-funding, and it's certainly impossible to commit to vessel time until you have some certainty on the timing of the survey, and that's what we've been lacking on this particular project, because we didn't have a permit from the BOEM until this past quarter. So once we have been awarded that permit, those discussions have accelerated, both with customers as well as vessel vendors, and those are progressing as we would expect, John. I'm not going to really comment on how pre-funding is lining up or that sort of thing, but we're confident that we have continue to have customer interest in the project and that it will be part of our 2012 plan.
Right. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the required pre-funding on this one. It's a wide estimate survey. I presume it's quite big. You haven't said the value of it. Maybe you could tell us roughly what value we're talking about, the investment in dollar terms, and how much pre-funding you require on this one. It's more than the normal 50%, for instance?
I would say that, this project would be similar to past wide azimuth projects in terms of the level of pre-funding we would look for. It's not, there's nothing unusual about this project that would cause us to look for any more or any less pre-funding before we start the project. I think I could just characterize the project as a large wide azimuth project. It's, we're not prepared right now to disclose the number of blocks or the exact location or anything like that right now. But I think you've seen our wide azimuth activity in the past. So it's not it's not too dissimilar from that, I guess, in the past.
All right, thank you. And the value of it in terms of investment? How much money dollars comes up?
We can't communicate that right now, John. We don't communicate investments on specific projects either.
Okay, sure. And my second question is regarding the onshore investments that you're planning for 2012. You said you were expecting to start up the collection of the survey in Q1 2012. Is that still the case? And could you tell us about pre-funding on that survey? And secondly, are there more onshore investment opportunities coming up?
I guess the answer to the second part of your question is yes. We're actually in our budget process right now, John, and meeting with all our executives here in Houston to review those plans. And I can say that we are the opportunities that are being presented to us, which include opportunities in the onshore U.S., are interesting, and there are multiple. There are several that are being presented to us that look attractive. So we're enthusiastic, and that our investment in that play will continue after this first project we've announced. This first project, the Firestone 3D in eastern Ohio, we announced that during the quarter, and we've actually started work on that project. And the work involves surveying and permitting. And the onshore multi-client seismic business is a bit different than the marine business, and probably one of the most significant differences is the permitting is a little bit more complicated. You have many, multiple landowners that you have to work with to get permits to access their land, to acquire the data, and we're well underway with that process. But we probably won't start. Well, we definitely won't start recording on the shooting and recording on the survey till after January 1. And so you won't see any kind of revenue effect or investment effect from this project in 2011. You'll see that start in the first quarter of 2012, as is typical for accounting practice in the onshore.
Okay, thank you. I've got more questions, but I'll leave the floor for others now. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
And we will take our next question from Rob Pullain in Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just three questions, if I may. Given that fourth quarter of last year was so very strong in late sales, is it possible, obviously, if you get clarity on the next licensing round in the Gulf of Mexico, that you also deliver a similar level or higher this year? My second question is, since you're undertaking a Gulf of Mexico survey next year, the investment level, I know you're not going to comment on a sort of individual survey basis, but is it fair to assume that we may be looking at towards the top end of the range of the 280 to 330 you gave this year for 2012? And my final question is, which vessels do you have contracted for next year, and for how long are they contracted, either full contracts or options? Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure, Rob. I think, obviously can't comment on Q4. I think that, we would, I guess we would like to see an announcement on a Central Gulf of Mexico round, which would occur in March, but I can tell you that we already have customers that are licensing data, actually preparing for that round. So I think there is some assumption that there will be a Central Gulf of Mexico round sometime during the first half of 2012. Q4 typically for our company tends to be the quarter where we have higher revenues than any other quarter in the year. There have been departures from that, such as in 2008. But I think that obviously we can't comment on Q4 right now. We would like to see a round announcement, which could only help our Q4 sales. We also oftentimes see oil companies spending their last bit of budget in the year, and we'll also, as we proceed in the quarter, we'll be looking for that too. But it's kind of too early to call right now. In terms of investment level going into 2012, as I stated in the past question, or in the answer to the past question, currently we're right now in our planning process for 2012. So we're reviewing the opportunities that are being brought forward. I can just tell you that, you know, the pipeline or the basket of opportunities that's being showed to us is pretty full right now. But it's a process of building a plan from the bottom up and looking at those opportunities to see what might you know, meet our you know, our investment criteria, and we'll build a plan on that. And so right now it's going to be too early to comment on 2012 investment. We typically have not guided on the year until our Q4 earnings release for the previous year, and that would have been, I guess, looking into 2012, that would have been February 2012. That's when we plan to come out with our Q4 2011 earnings release. This year, we have decided to accelerate that process. We're in the planning process right now. We'll go to the board for budget approval in December, and so that we can be prepared to come out to the market sometime during the first half of January and to guide for 2012. And it's at that point then we'll communicate what our investment levels will be.
Okay, thanks. And the vessels you have contracted or options for next year?
Yeah. So if you look at our in our presentation, we showed a vessel commitments slide. We have two vessels that are going into that we've committed to that are going to go into early part of 2012. It's a vessel in Australia that is acquiring a 3D data set for us there. It's the Mary Rose 3D that will extend into the early part of 2012. And then we have a 2D vessel working in Namibia right now, and that charter will extend into the early part of 2012. I would anticipate that you might see further announcements in Q4 of projects. Right now, the vessel situation is such that we can charter a vessel for a project as we announce it, as we commit to it and announce it. So it's not a situation where we're having to take charters that span multiple projects yet. So I think we'll continue to operate for the near-term future. We're going to be able to continue to operate that way. So as we're prepared to announce a new project, we'll announce a vessel charter associated with that. But right now, the solid commitments we have going into early part of 2012 are just two vessels that are working on specifically two projects.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Paul Dahl in First Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, to your revenue guidance for 2011, and I guess right now being November and the way you book pre-funding levels, you have a pretty good idea of what to expect from pre-funding revenues and contract revenues in Q4. Assuming on my estimates, you will have $47 million in revenues from those two sources, leaving late sale guidance being quite wide between $123 and $173 million. I was wondering if you could give some indications, assuming a normalized year-end spending, how should we think about this guidance and where is the probability that you'll end up in the higher end and the probability for the lower end?
Well, Paul, you know, we can't really talk about Q4 yet, unfortunately. I think that your assessment about our knowledge and our comfort on our pre-funding levels is accurate. I mean, we have a pretty good visibility on that in Q4 being where we are. Obviously we can't really comment on that right now. Late sales, you know, we have taken, we're still guiding a pretty, as you pointed out, a pretty wide range of revenue, $600 to $650 million for the year, that we're still confident with. The obvious swing there is what I discussed a little bit earlier in the conference call, is how Q4 late sales are going to pan out in areas like the Gulf of Mexico or in areas like, what oil companies are going to need to spend to sort of flush budgets in Q4. All I can comment, Paul, is that we're very confident with our we're still confident with our guidance on the revenue side, and are not making any adjustments at that point after the end of Q3.
You say that you see clients preparing for a lease sale in Central Gulf of Mexico in the first half 12. Is this preparation reflected in your third quarter and year-to-date sales, or have you seen a shift over the last couple of months?
Well, I think it's fair to say, you know, there's a license round now that will be held on December 14th of this year, and that's in the western Gulf of Mexico. It's probably fair to say that a lot of our customers are focused on that right now and preparing for that license round because it's a little bit more than a month away. As they mature those prospects for their management and go forward and prepare for that round, then they'll start focusing on the next round, which presumably is the Central Gulf of Mexico. I can tell you that, you know, we are hearing from customers that they're preparing for that round. Specific sales, it's oftentimes difficult to understand. You know, our customers if you think we're confidential about what we do, they're probably 10 times more confidential about what they're using our data for. Oil companies are good at that. And I think that, we don't really know what they're licensing a particular data set for, whether it's around preparation or whether it's maybe an M&A opportunity they're looking for, that sort of thing. But we are just in conversations with our customers, we are picking up that they are preparing for a round and they're planning for one to occur in the first half of next year. Which has been our feeling from what we understand, from our dialogue with, people in the BOEM, which is the regulatory body here in the U.S., is that, you know, that is their, that has been their plan too, although they haven't been any more specific than the early part of 2012.
So it's not very critical, the date when, or the announcement of when the date, for a license round, it's not that critical for your sales?
Probably not, although it would be nice to have it. I mean, it's always nice to have certainty on events, and as we know in our business, you know, license rounds are triggers for sales for TGS. And so while I think there's the expectation that there's going to be a Central Gulf round, it's always nice to have the authorities come out and make it concrete and set a date for it.
Just a question to your amortization rate at 49% in Q3. I think only two quarters since 2004 I've seen a higher amortization rate. Is that any specific reasons for that, or have you just made sales in on surveys where you don't have the same return criteria in this quarter?
Well, Paul, as you know, it's very difficult to estimate the amortization rate, and the reason for that is that we don't know which surveys the oil companies are going to buy for the next quarter. This quarter, you're right, 49% is a relatively high amortization rate based on historical figures. But then again, if you look at our sales from old surveys, which are fully written off, you see that percentage is quite low. It's 10%, while the average is 18 over a 7 or 8 year period. So that's the main explanation to a relatively high amortization rate. If you look year to date, you will see that we're significantly lower than last year, and we're very much in the middle of our guidance for the full year.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Tor Lunder in DNB Nor. Please go ahead.
Hi. One question on your investments, or how you think about investments for next year. Is there any reason to think that, for instance, the North Sea and Africa will be lower than this year, given your fairly successful project?
I'm sorry, Tor, you were breaking up towards the end there. Can you repeat your question?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
It's sort of breaking up.
Sorry, better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. think about your investment philosophy for next year, is there any reason to believe why the North Sea and Africa should be lower than this year, given the outlook for both vessel capacity and new projects?
It's tough to tell right now. We think that, I mean, there's a couple of things that are working in Northwest Europe, for example, and, you know, this past year was probably a more active year, particularly for 3D, than we've ever seen, between our activity and our competitors' activity. It's tough to call how that's going to play out next year. I guess one could look at some of the recent exploration successes in Northwest Europe and suggest that, in particular Norway, you might see additional E&P activity in general, sort of supported by those recent exploration activities. So one might suggest there might be a continued demand for 3D data in Norway next year. Keep in mind also, though, that there's a license round in Norway next year, and a lot of the data that was acquired this year is going to be used next year to prepare for that license round. I think in general in West Africa, you'll continue to see, West Africa is still very much a frontier relative to Northwest Europe, and you're going to continue to see a lot of deep water activity in West Africa. The geology and the governments and the laws obviously are a lot more variable there than they are in Northwest Europe, so it's tough to call. It's tough to make generalities as to what the activity may be in West Africa. I guess I would say that we are pretty confident we'll be in West Africa at some level next year. We have a number of opportunities we're looking at there. We're going to be in Northwest Europe next year too. You'll see us continue our investments there. I can't really make any generalities as to the level of activity at this point.
Okay, thanks.
And we will take our next question from Egle Domateite from Terra Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I firstly wanted to ask about the licensing round in the central Gulf of Mexico. Do you think it is more likely that this round would be announced by the end of this year or early next year? And would this announcement impact your investments when you come up with a plan early January?
The second part of your question, I guess we take a bit of a longer view on things when we're considering our investments in the Gulf of Mexico. We don't really, these specific rounds probably don't have a lot of effect on our investment decisions because the investments we make are for, many rounds in the future. I think if for some reason the U.S. government decided for some reason to halt license rounds, which is certainly not the indication, then that would obviously affect the investment decisions, but we don't expect that at all. It looks like it's the opposite. It looks like the U.S. government is, since the Macondo incident, they've been taking actions to try to get E&P activity started up again in the Gulf of Mexico, and, of course, key to that is holding license rounds going forward. In terms of specific timing on the announcement for a central Gulf of Mexico round, legally, they have to do that 90 days before the round. So if you expect that the round would be held in March, which is actually the pre-Macondo, that was the normal month for a central Gulf of Mexico round, then you would expect a central Gulf of Mexico round announcement before the end of the year. Because that would provide for the 90 days notice. If it's later than March, then you might envision, and if they wait 90 days before the round, you can envision where announcement might not occur until after January 1. But you know, it's tough to call right now. It could be, I mean, it could be any day now when the government comes out and announces announces a round.
Okay, thanks. And can you give some update on Alaska area, like Chukchi Sea? Do you see any activity there in the near term?
It's certainly an area that we look at. It's you know, we've been very active in the Arctic as of late. I guess the nearest activity we've had to the Chukchi Sea is in the East Siberian Sea and the Laptev Seas up off of Russia. We did acquire some data back in 2009 in the Chukchi Sea on the Russian side. So we're very familiar with the geology up there. We're familiar with the region. And I think that, you know, the Chukchi Sea is one area that you're going to see, and you've seen recent announcements from some operators, you know, license holders up in the Chukchi, that they're starting to be successful in getting permits to continue work up there. So we're looking at it pretty closely. It's an area of interest to us, as is most of the major basins in the Arctic region.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Morten Nystrøm in Fearnley. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Robert and Christian. Question first. You don't disclose this, but if you look at your total investments for 2010 and also the total investments for 2011, that would be more or less equal around, let's say, 300 or slightly below. How does this compare to, let's say, number of square kilometers for 3D these 2 years? Are you able to acquire more square kilometers in 2011 than you did in 2010?
We haven't really made that calculation, but I think you could assume that number of square kilometers would be quite similar to last year.
Okay. And then my second question is more like a strategic question. I guess it's for you, Robert. It's regarding Brazil. We now see that, you know, things are moving, I guess, in the right direction in Brazil. We'll have a lease sale in the first half, and then also there are some talks about pre-sold lease round later in 2012 or 2013, who knows. But as far as I remember, your data in the Brazil is primarily 2D joint venture with Western GECO. What is your, let's say, strategy both for 2012 and also longer terms in Brazil?
Yeah, you're correct, Morten. Our database that we have down there is a 2D database. It's quite extensive. In fact, I think you know, along with Western GECO, we're joint owners of the data with Western GECO, and we are jointly probably the largest providers of 2D data, and that 2D data extends across all the basins. So in terms of you know, this first license round that's been announced, which is specifically targeting the post salt or the above salt above salt areas, we're perfectly positioned for that, and most of that's occurring up in the northern basins of Brazil, where we have a lot of coverage. That's also an area of interest in that geologically that's analogous to the Africa Transform Margin, which is an area in which we have probably the largest multi-client database in West Africa in the industry. So we know a lot about the area. We feel like we are perfectly positioned for that round. In terms of, you're right, we would hope that there would be an announcement for a pre-salt round that would occur in the second half of 2012 or 2013. And again, we're very well positioned for that as well. That round would be focused more towards the pre-salt or the below-salt strata. And some of our most recent projects in Brazil have been focused towards that play, in that we're reprocessing a lot of this 2D data that we have there and applying a lot of the technologies we've developed in the Gulf of Mexico to this data that we have in Brazil to be able to help oil companies illuminate prospects in the pre-salt play. We're going to continue, are looking at Brazil quite closely. I think it's going to be an important area for industry as a whole. It's also an area, you know, once they can start these license rounds, as they seem to be doing, we think that there's a role for multi-client. We do have a focus on that. We have manpower that's dedicated towards specifically looking at Brazil and developing projects there, and we do see a number of opportunities that we're specifically considering there. So that's about all I can comment on it at this point.
Okay. Thanks. Also a question we hear a lot about the competitive landscape for 3D vessels, given it's currently a market which has too many vessels and prices are depressed, what we don't hear so much about is the competition in the multi-client market. However, if I'm right, I would suspect that a lot of your peers or other seismic companies will actually allocate more of their vessels towards multi-client in 2012, simply because returns there are good, and all companies are willing to do multi-client, and also we hear talks about the North Sea shifting from traditionally being a contract market to a more multi-client market. If you could elaborate around this, and also how do you see this, have an effect on potentially returns on the multi-client business model?
I think you're right in seeing certainly in the summertime of 2011, we seem to see more focus towards multi-clients in Northwest Europe from some of our competition, who in some cases are also our vessel vendors. We're certainly not in a position to comment on what their strategy might be there. It's impossible for us to really kind of call why that shift might actually be happening. I think our business model has and will be, a focus on developing multi-client projects without regard to keeping vessel capacity busy, right? I mean, we don't take on capacity unless we have good investment opportunities is sort of our strategy. And so I still continue to think that because of our structure and our business model, that we have a very focused strategy towards developing those good investment opportunities, and particularly in the market that we're in right now, we have there are vessels available where we need them and sort of when we need them to be able to execute on those opportunities. I'd point out that in Q3 we were looking yesterday. In Q3 we had 14 vessels that we were using at certain points during the quarter. And if you think about it, that's probably about 8% of the total worldwide 3D fleet that was utilized by TGS in Q3. So when you think about the total volume of multi-client that may have been acquired in 2011, I would suggest that TGS was probably the leader.
My final question, and it's a follow-up on the last one. I think your historical average on, let's say, multi-client sales divided by multi-client investments is slightly about 2% historically. Obviously, this is partly based on investments which were made at levels considerably below current levels. And since you now, let's say, over the last, I guess it's since 2008, has been in the range of 300 million, Is it fair to assume that, you know, the multi-client return will be somewhat lower than historically, simply because that, you know, taking on more projects and the marginal project you're taking on has somewhat lower returns than the project you had booked for, let's say, $100 million, if you understand the question?
Yeah, I can answer that question, Morten. We obviously spend a lot of time analyzing the same thing as you're doing, and we recognize that that figure changes from year to year, and obviously
yeah.
changes from quarter to quarter. I
yeah.
think in the longer term, we haven't changed the way we look at new projects. We set the same criteria for sanctioning a new project as we always have done, and there is no reason that you will see a significant change in the sales to investment ratio going forward.
Mm. Many thanks, gents.
Thanks, Morten.
As a reminder, to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll take our next question from Paul Dalling, First Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Just a follow-up question. How does the U.S. onshore market work? I guess in marine contract, multi-client, I guess three key items are, you know, you need prosperity, it's good with a stable government regime, and frequent and predictable license rounds. I guess the U.S. onshore is very prosperous, but the government regime, or at least especially the lease sale pattern, is different. How do you price this, and how should we expect of the sales cycle from these investments?
Yeah, so we look at an investment on one of these onshore projects we model it, I should say, in a very similar way to the way we model a marine project, for example. And that's you know, what's most critical, I suppose, to that modeling is a sales forecast. And you're right about, you know, you have to consider when you build these models on and compare, say, an onshore project versus an offshore project, you know, the triggers that might trigger a late sale, for example, on those projects can be a bit different. You know, in the onshore, each state in the onshore has its own petroleum laws. So we study when we're looking at these onshore opportunities, we're studying what the regulations are. They aren't federal regulations; they're more state regulations. In some cases, land is held, particularly in the western U.S., you know, land's held by the government in some cases, where there are federal lands. But in most cases, particularly in the eastern U.S., a lot of this is private land that's being held. And so you work with your pre-funding companies and your customers that are interested in that area. To design the project, and then you, with their assistance, you go out and you get permits to acquire the data on both public as well as private land. But in the case of the project we're working on right now, it's largely privately held. And then, you know, the mechanism for sales going forward, and I'm sure you've seen this in the past year or so, you've seen continuous announcements of companies farming into the holdings of other companies that have already gained acreage positions in some of these shale plays. You know, a big trigger for late sales going forward is M&A activity. So you know, companies that are interested in farming into this acreage need a license to the data to be able to value it. So they buy licenses to our data. You know, I think in most cases there aren't regular license rounds like you might have in a marine scenario that's controlled by the federal government. So you consider that when you build your late sales forecast. I think it's fair to say that probably, we set our pre-funding level amounts dependent upon those late sales forecasts and the risks for that late sales forecast. And I think you could probably expect that an onshore project would typically carry higher pre-funding than, say, a marine project in the Gulf of Mexico, for example, which is in a region that is, you know, mature and has a lot of acreage turnover and license rounds that would trigger late sales. So hopefully that's kind of helpful to Paul to kind of give you a picture on the differences.
Yeah, very helpful. Just a follow-up. How many partners are typically in one of these shale plays on one acre of land?
It varies wildly. And, these blocks can be very, very small too, right? So the mineral rights ownership and the mineral rights permitting can be quite complex in some of these areas. These partners can be pretty small companies, and as you've seen, like I said, in the past year, you've seen big super majors farming into a lot of this stuff too. So I think it's fair to say too that the mix of the number of customers that are interested in your typical onshore play are certainly a lot more than you would find in a frontier basin, a deepwater frontier basin. So the customer pool is quite large.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Sure, Paul.
There are no more questions remaining in the queue.
Okay, thank you very much for attending the call today, and we'll be pleased to report back to you in early January with our 2012 guidance, and then, of course, we'll be looking forward to meeting with you again in early February for our Q4 earnings release. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.